vanished after a first date, law enforcement used an app on her phone to trace her whereabouts. As investigators zeroed in on the teen's movements, they uncovered chilling security camera footage. 48 Hours correspondent Anne-Marie Green has more.
On April 1st, 2024, Sade Robinson, a 19-year-old college student from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, went on a first date, but she never returned home. The next morning, the charred remains of her car were found behind an abandoned building. Lead Detective Joe Donner of the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office.
This is Sade's vehicle.
This is pretty much completely destroyed.
It is.
Suspecting something terrible had happened to Sade, Detective Donner and her team took note of the position of the driver's seat.
I then went to a dealership and found an identical model.
With the driver's seat in the same position as the one in Sade's vehicle, Donner grabbed the deputy, who was about Sade's height.
And when she sat in the car, she couldn't touch the pedals.
There was no way, Sade was the last person in that driver's
seat. I remember her. No. Remember we did a live stream on her and we was talking about her missing? I remember her. I definitely remember doing a live stream about her. Ain't this her right here? Oh, yeah. Oh, this was the white guy, the serial killer guy. Snaps. Yeah, she went on the first date with this white guy, this serial killer white guy right here. And he wound up going to court and getting convicted. Or he didn't get convicted. He had got arrested and he was standing trial in court. I remember that. Oh, snaps. That is her. Shit. Yep, it's this guy right here. I remember this. This was like a couple years ago, if I'm not mistaken. I remember this.
Donner says the last person to drive Sade's car had to be at least 6 feet tall. Sade's date that night was 6'1", 33-year-old Maxwell Anderson.
Be careful what y'all ask for. Oh my God, I want him to be 6 feet and for him to be a white man because white men is generous and white women say that they marry for money and they don't ever have to work again and I don't want to contribute and I'm not looking to be single for the rest of my life and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Whatever it is that you want, you know what I've learned? You know what I learned? This is one of the lessons that I told my daughter. I told my daughter a couple different things yesterday. I said that it was important for me to leave you an inheritance, and that's what the Bible tells us to do. And I was telling her that inside of the deed office. And I also told her, I said, whenever you ask for something, make sure you say, but let your will be done and not my will. Because a lot of times we ask for stuff that's not best for us or that we may not be prepared for or may not work out for us or any of that type of stuff. And just because it may look good to you, it may be deadly for you. Because it looks good to you, it may be deadly for you. I remember when I was younger, and I know that this is completely unrelated, but it makes sense for what I'm trying to tell y'all. I was younger. I was in my 20s. And it was when the Pontiac GTOs came out. It was like the revised version of they took the European body style and they was using it for Pontiac, but it was calling it the GTO, and it had a Corvette engine in it. It had a Corvette engine in it. And I remember I was going to the dealership, and I was in my 20s, and I was about to buy one because I was doing really, really well. This was before the 2008 crisis. I was working at the plant. I was making a whole lot of money, and I was doing really well. I didn't have any children. And I'm telling you, I went into the dealership, and I was talking to the sales guy, and he was like, so you ready to do it? And it was like a little voice that popped up in my head and it said, you're going to kill yourself. And I was like, nah, I listened immediately. I was like, nah, I'm good. The voice in my head. And I said to God, and this is what I said. It was like a mini conversation that I had in my head. And I said to God, this looked like this is for me. And he said, that's absolutely not for you. You are going to kill yourself. I remember it was a girl that I thought that I was going to get into a relationship with and wind up marrying her. It was another girl. It was a girl. Give y'all a little bit of insight. It was a girl before Rita that I had got into a relationship with. And contrary to what people think and the narrative that's created, I stayed out the way. Rita stayed a virgin all through high school, but we wasn't in a relationship. We was just good friends. And it was another girl that I wound up talking to after I had graduated. And I thought that was going to be the girl that I wound up being with for a long time. And one day I was chilling with her and I was just sitting and kicking it. And I was like, is she the person that I'm supposed to be with? And I'm telling you, it's as clear as day. It's as clear as day. God says she is going to ruin your life. That is not your girl. I know y'all think it's crazy, but I'm just going to, I got to say it, regardless of whether you agree with it or you disagree with it or you believe it or you don't believe it. He said, that is not your girl. She going to ruin your life. I kid you not. And the one thing about me, though, is I do a lot of stuff. I make a lot of mistakes. But when I know that it's God's voice, when he says something to you, I listen. I listen. And she wound up going off to college. She wound up getting accepted into a specific school, and I'm not going to get into that. And she wound up going off to college down in Atlanta. She moved down to Atlanta, and I'm guessing that she did okay with herself and all of that. But he said, that is not your girl. She's going to ruin your life. That is not your girl. She's going to ruin your life. And I said, interesting. And I kept it moving. And everything worked out the way that it's supposed to. But what I'm saying is, listen, y'all, there are so many other things and so many different things that plays a role in our lives. When we think that we have the answer, or when we think that things make sense, or when we get an answer that don't make sense to us because we got it made up in our mind of what it is that we think is supposed to happen, it's so many different barriers and signs that happen. That's like, yo, that's not it. Yo, that's not it. Yo, that's not it. Yo, that's not it. He don't even look like the type of dude that seems like a fun time. Looking at this guy right here, he does not even seem like the type of dude that looks like a fun time. In my opinion, this nigga looked like a serial killer. He looked like a serial killer.
On Sade's phone, investigators found a clue that could tell them everywhere Sade went the night she disappeared, the Life 360 app.
Unlike Find My iPhone.
The grown people don't want nobody to know where they are because they think that, you know what I'm saying, they sneaking. The grown people don't know. I got at least three people that know where I'm at at all times. One of them is my daughter.
That gives you where your phone is right now. Life 360 gives you historical data.
As investigators traced Sade's movements from her app, they obtained security camera footage of Sade with Anderson on their date. Anderson would later say that when he and Sade parted ways, she was fine. But hours later, according to her Life 360 app, Sade's phone arrived at an area along Lake Michigan. Investigators went there and uncovered this grainy footage of a figure seemingly dragging something to the lake.
Who that is so messed up, bro.
I believe that figure is
Maxwell Anderson.
Oh, that is some eerie footage there. 48 Hours correspondent Anne-Marie Green is with us in studio to talk about this week's episode. Anne-Marie, good morning. Great to see you, as always. Yeah. How crucial was that Life 360 app? Because I heard you speaking to some other people about that story. They're like, we need that.
This app is something else. This is not like Find My Phone, right? This uses GPS. So it's very accurate in terms of locating where her phone was that night. It was crucial, incredibly crucial, because almost immediately they knew where she went so they could.
So what's the difference between the Find My app and the Life 360 app?
go to those locations, get things like surveillance video and other evidence that would have been lost if they had waited weeks.
And how unusual was it for her to be at, is it Warnemont Park?
You said it right. So this is kind of a large park, but very unusual for her to be there at that time of night, and especially that location. Her family thought it was very, very odd.
What about Max?
So do y'all think that Life 360 is better than Find My? I don't know what the differences are.
Well, Anderson, yeah. Did he have ties to the park? How close is he to the guy?
Yeah, a little different for him. We actually spoke to one of his ex-girlfriends who said that he would go to the park all the time, but specifically he went to one particular area that he sort of thought of as his own. He would take his girlfriend there. He called it his secret beach. So as you can imagine, when investigators learned about this, they were very interested.
In our last few seconds, we saw this like experiment with the driver's seat. Yes. Were investigators able to tie him to that car and being behind the wheel?
Well, you know, Sade was short and he was tall. He was 6 foot tall. And the thing about the driver's seat is that there's no way somebody shorter than 6 foot would have been driving that car when it was set on fire. And that was just another indication that Sade was not the one driving.
Bro, at this point, if you are a serial killer, if you out here doing crime, you might as well stop, bro, because technology is advancing so rapidly to where the only way you can get away with something if everything work out the exact way that it's supposed to work out, bro. Somebody says it'll draw all of your previous movements, but that's what Find My do also. You ping off the cell phone towers all day long. That's how they knew that Fawny Willis's boyfriend was spending the night every night. That's how they know where Fawny Willis's boyfriend was every night and whether or not she was paying him with the people's money. Everything, honestly, everything at this point seems like it's against you. Bro, I even be thinking about closing my windows. I'm at the top floor, so I don't have to worry about it. But I be thinking to myself, I'm like, man, you know what? I think I'm about to close my window. I used to be the type of person that when I went to a hotel room, I would make sure that all of the windows are super open. But then I started looking across the, looking at the other hotels, and I was thinking to myself, if I could see them, why they can't see me? You know what I'm saying? Or I would jump on the people mover, and when it was going around, I could see in the other people's places, and I was thinking to myself, well, how is that any different? I mean, I know they can't see all the way up here to the top, and it's the tallest building out here right now, but I'm not really sure if this makes as much sense as I thought it did.